As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to the Mike Young Show, the Love My Renovation Project. As you know, we're FHA 203K consultants, and we consult for FHA, Homestyle Mortgage by Fannie Mae, and VA Renovation Mortgages. So we are happy to be with you today. We're going to have a guest today, Tom Huntley from Homebridge Financial, who will come in about 15 minutes or so from now. Well, you can ask your questions of a lender. If you haven't already heard, some time ago, VA started the renovation program up to $35,000. It requires a consultant. And then the latest word on the street is that they've come out with a full 203K type loan. It's a renovation product, and there's similar limitations as the 203K itself. So much higher, you can get bigger renovations. In any case, if you'd like to be part of the show today, call in at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation questions. Now, while most 203Ks go off without a hitch, there is a time to, from time to time, you may find that there's nobody to talk to, nobody listening to your side of the situation, and you've got a problem. We started a website called 203K911.com about 3 or 4 years ago. And we've been able to help over 400 people without any fees or anything to them whatsoever. We were able to help that many without any cost or expense just by listening to their problem and offering them some suggestions that they followed and were able to solve their problems. So that's pretty cool. We love that. We love being able to help people all over the place. So if you have a problem, if you're a consultant and you have a problem, whatever the problem may be, then we might be able to help you solve it. So feel free to give us a call, give us the opportunity to help you, and that would be wonderful. We're happy to do it. And if it doesn't cost you anything, what have you got to lose? So the key is we did charge some people, and those people got very much value for their simple call to us when they ask us to handle it. So if you have us handle it, it's going to cost you. But if we can show you how to handle it and you can do that, follow our simple instructions, then there will be no cost to you. So if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, you can call us or go to one of our websites like 203konline.com. Scroll down to the message center and send us a little email. A message, we'll be happy to address your questions online or privately one-on-one. Questions that came in this past week via email from our consultant listeners is one, can a new wood deck be installed as part of a home-style renovation loan? Refresh my memory on when contractors get paid for change orders and any time after I have inspected the work or at the completion of the project. Come on, guys. Ask the questions one at a time. Number them or something. So can a wood deck be installed as part of a home-style renovation? Sure it can. You can install a swimming pool. That was my biggest one, is having them install a complete swimming pool, a patio, and a real fancy barbecue pit, which are not allowed under the FHA 203K program, but are very easily done with the home-style renovation mortgage. So if the change order is for health, safety, or necessity, then it can be paid out once the change order items are 100% complete. And that can happen anytime during the process as long as it's for health, safety, or of necessity. If it's an elective change, then it's only paid after 90% of the original scope of work is complete. And it's obvious they are not going to need the money for any other contingencies. But change orders must be 100% complete before you pay them out. So it's unlike the draw line items that can be paid out a percentage of completion. Once you do a change order, you have to have that item. Everything on that change order must be 100% complete before you can submit it for payment. Now, this is important to know because so many times the contractor will submit a change order, and I had one the other day with that. Five items on it. Four of them were complete. They were ready for payment. The fifth line item was only half done. So the way that we handled that was I suggested that he take the fifth item that is not complete off of the list, and I can process the other four for payment immediately. And then we'll do another change order and maybe add another one that might come up down the road. I don't like change orders, and I have some contractors that never use the change order and never touch the contingency. However, they are not the typical. The more typical situation is that they are going to try to use that contingency as much as they can, whenever they can. So just recognize that. And that money is not necessarily the contractors, it's the borrowers. And it should not be treated as such. Okay. Anyway, we just got an email from a client on a two-year-old project. The owner was complaining to the consultant, me, that the grout in the shower is starting to come loose. Well, all I can say is that every renovation project comes with a one-year labor and parts warranty. The contractor provides that, not HUD, and certainly not the consultant. So had the grout started falling out during the first year, and it may have, he just might not have noticed it. But in that first year is when you want to look for those things and turn them in, let the contractor have the opportunity to fix them in the case that they can, and it's under the warranty. Now, beyond that, there is a 10-year warranty on any structural repairs. Okay, so it's on you to point those out. So if somebody built a new deck and that structure is faulty, you have 10 years to get that repaired by the contractor, provided the contractor's still in business. There's always a fear, too, these days. And there is a company, probably dozens of companies out there, but the one that comes to mind for me is 2-10.com. 2-10.com, who provides a two-year warranty on everything. So instead of your one-year warranty, a two-year warranty, so the grout falling out might be covered under that. I don't know. You're going to have to check with 2-10 warranty. Once you find them, you can click a button for other companies like them, and you probably find a whole host of potential warranty companies. And the other thing is, if for some reason, let's say you had a structural issue and your contractor was no longer in business. Well, if he's no longer in business, he's not going to fix it. But if you had a 2-10 warranty, then they warrant it for 10 years. And if they find that it qualifies under their policy, they will send out a new contractor, and that new contractor will be happy to come out there and repair that structural work where it failed. Okay, so just keep that in mind, and it may be a good thing if you've got a big issue or you've got a project with a lot of structural issues, you may want to get a 2-10 warranty or something like it to cover yourself just in case the contractor's not there to take care of you 2 years down the road or a few years down the road. So next item they called in this last week was no project is totally free, but realize who the issue is with. I mean to say, if the work is shoddy and not professionally completed, the owner and the consultant have the right and the responsibility to reject payment until it is corrected. Exercise that right. When a draw inspection is requested, it's the contractor who is requesting payment for work completed. Okay, so the contractor should fill out or already have filled out the draw form, column 3. Column 3 is, for people who don't understand, is the draw form is where you're drawing against the money that's sitting in there for the work that's completed, sitting in the escrow. So when the draw inspection occurs, the contractor should have column 3 filled out. Column 1 shows exactly what has been set aside for each line item and the 35 key line items. Column 2 is for what has already been paid. So if a line item has already been paid, it can no longer be paid again. It's already been paid. Column 3 is for this current request. So you'll compare the current request. If he's asking for 100% of line item 1, which is masonry, and you notice in column 2 that it's already been paid out 100% or 50%, then column 3 can only have the remaining amount, the difference between column 3 and column 1. A lot of columns here. Let's emphasize that, right? But when the contractor requests an item, he can request as much as he wants. Whether it's true or not true, it makes no difference to us. At that point, then the contractor signs the top, second line down from the top on page 2, activating that draw request. At that point, the borrower and the consultant or inspector at that time, we're no longer the consultant, will go out and we will inspect those items that he is requesting payment. If any of those items are not completed in a professional and workmanlike manner, then we merely put a line through the item, the amount in column 3, and column 4 is for what we are willing to pay at that point. So if the contractor requests 100% on the roof replacement, the roof repair, and we see that they're still working up there, they're not finished with that roof repair, then we might cut it back 5% or 3% or 50%, whatever we feel is the completion point. So just because the contractor asks for it does not mean the borrower or the consultant slash inspector needs to authorize that amount. Okay? So we have a policy in our company to sign the draw form last. We walk through with the client if they're present. So it's really important for the client borrower to be present at the draw inspections. So we can talk about the things that may not meet the full criteria. Now, it's fine if we cut them back, and we quite often do, and then send the paperwork for the client to sign. But they can't see it from their home. So they need to come out and physically walk through and look at those line items, because when they sign, they're effectively signing that they've observed the finished product and it meets their satisfaction. So if you haven't done that, you haven't observed it, don't sign it. It's that simple. So, okay, we have a few more of these to go, but I think we're running out of time this segment. So please call in at 888-627-6008, toll free to be part of the show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now, and let's fix your problems.
Hey, this is Mike Young. Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. We're happy to take your calls and answer your questions about your specific projects. In any case, we were talking about these draw requests and how contractors fill out column 3 prior to us getting to the site, hopefully. And if not, then we hand them the draw forms and here, fill out column 3 now with what you want to look at. And once in a while, you get these contractors that say, I want you to look at everything and pay me what you can. Well, that's not our job, and I certainly don't want to look at half of the stuff that you physically know you haven't even touched. So fill out column 3 for us if you're a contractor. Be friendly with the consultant and the inspectors, okay? It always makes for a better relationship. Remember, we're the ones trying to get you paid, so you don't want to screw with us too much. Anyway, if the borrower blindly signs these things, giving up their right to complain about them. So it's best, if it isn't to your satisfaction, don't sign the paperwork. The homeowner, contractor fills it out, and then homeowner and I go around, we look at these items, and if the homeowner is not satisfied with the workmanship or the quality, then they need to tell us now. And I can't tell you how important it is when you're creating that scope of work, original scope of work. What you want to do is you want to be sure and have the model numbers of any appliances, exact model numbers if you can get them. We don't want to install Maytag if you want Kenmore and vice versa. And there's places that you can find appliances very inexpensively. And I'm going to tell you one that I have found to be very, very inexpensive, all top quality, top name brands. We'll give them a free plug here. It's us-appliances.com. us-appliances.com. And when you get on their site, if you click package deals or right in their search window, package deals, you're going to find that you got every brand you can imagine. You got 3, 4, and 5 package deals where you buy those units and you can get them all as a package. One of my clients had brought me to this site. We actually saved many clients $2,000, $3,000, and $4,000 on their appliance packages by going with this company. And if nothing else, use it to get a price. Take it into your local Best Buy or RJ Willie. I think it's RJ Willie. And they have both agreed to match that internet price, which is important. So if it happens that way and it works out for you, please look at that company to get your prices and then buy locally if you have the mind and like to do that. Hey, I try to visit most of our state representatives whenever I'm in their areas. It's always good to get their perspectives on the aspects of the program we serve and find out who's doing something a little different that may be making money for them. And that's great. And you share that with the other people. See, we don't compete with each other in most cases. We have set up our territories relatively open and yet somewhat protected. So we had one recently in South Carolina for our North and South Carolina teams. We usually meet in Rock Hill, so everybody comes together. North Carolina, that's just across the South Carolina border. And for the South Carolina team, they just drive up there. I think the longest one has to drive from Charleston. And the longest one from North Carolina comes in from Wilmington. Anyway, we try to get in there. We talk about a lot of things, but mostly most of them weren't aware of the VA new renovation loan. which is very much like the standard 203K with similar limitations. One of the guys indicated that they were aware of it, but their lender was doing them without a consultant. Well, that's against the guideline. So you need to inform that lender that FHA and VA make up HUD, and that we are HUD 203K inspectors, and we are supposed to be used, it's mandated in the guideline, on the VA loan as well. Also, that FHA increased the loan amount of money that could be borrowed for repairing swimming pools. Used to be $1,500, and now it's whatever it takes to get the pool operational. Why they did that, I'm not sure, but I'm glad they did, because a lot of times you have a pool, and most of them need some kind of work, whether it's simple retiling, but it may need a new face on the inside. We've had some interesting things happen over pools over the last few years. One of those things was some friends of mine actually left on vacation, and they thought it would be smart in the winter to drain the pool before they left so the neighbors' kids wouldn't climb over and be swimming in their pool. I got a panic phone call when they called me back and said, "Mike, our pool is sitting 4 feet out of the ground." Swimming pools are just boats. You build them in the ground, but if you flood the moisture level content, the moisture level content in the ground that surrounds a pool comes up, guess what? That boat floats. So we had a fun time putting the boat back in the ground, putting the pool back in the ground. But Fannie Mae is the rising star in the renovation loan industry. They've recently added manufactured homes to their list of product offerings. Okay, so manufactured homes that were built after June 30th, 1976 are eligible for renovation loans. And our guest later today is going to be, he just started making these loans as well, or offering them. I don't know if he's made any yet. But sometimes you have to realize that we are here to serve the public. And even though the loans are small on manufactured homes, you know, we're talking about refinancing and fixing them up. So you're talking loans that are quite often under $150,000. Now, if you're in California and you're making a loan and you're getting paid a percentage, you'd rather make a loan on a $500,000 house with $200,000 in renovation than you would a $150,000 loan. So, but sometimes you need to do that. We have to serve the public. It's not about you all the time. It's about the public, okay? Recently moved to a senior gated community and found it wonderful. We get up each morning, go for a walk. It terminates at the pool about 8 o'clock in the morning where we do water aerobics for an hour. The pool is heated to a temperature that you don't feel it when you step into it. It's just beautiful. Water aerobics is good. We're having a great time with that. And then you go back to the house. Quite often they have exercise rooms. We do, for sure. We have two pools, actually, two spas in our park. And we have exercise rooms with all kinds of nice equipment. We also have, they offer yoga and Tai Chi, which is very popular now. I see, what's the guy that sung Chim Chimney Cherie and all those good songs? Dick Van Dyke. He's out advertising for Tai Chi. It's fun to see the new units being brought into these manufactured homes, and they have a little different look. You can clearly tell they are more modern. They've got handrails. They've got front porches where a lot of the old manufactured homes or the older ones don't have these amenities. So actually, I'm thinking about this would be an ideal place for a young investor to get started with a low amount of money, okay? Because they can buy under this Fannie Mae project, they can buy a manufactured home and get the money to fix it up all in the same loan and flip it, sell it right there and make money. So they very well could make $20,000, $30,000 a month if they did one of these a month, without too much trouble, and after 10 months, they would have a nice cash bank. Then they could start on homes or if you got this down, just stay with this. You know it works. You get it and do it over and over again. So don't forget, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. We are always happy to hear from you. We're going to take this break a little soon, so we'll be back right after this.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, everybody. We've gone over some more questions that we got emailed in from consultants in this past week. They may not fit your specific need if you are a homeowner. However, if the consultant didn't know the answer, now you will. So in this case, we have a project over $90,000, and the lender wants us to sign a renovation loan initial disbursement request. Well, that's a draw request. I don't care what you call it. They're asking us to go on a hook and release $45,000, 50% of this up front. Is this something I can do or not? Well, my response was, it's good to be suspicious for sure. I would have an issue with doing that and staying within the guideline. So if this is an FHA 203K, the guideline is very clear. We can only pay for things that are completed or installed. So it sounds to me like this is a materials advance, an advance to give that contractor some money to get started, to go out and buy the materials. Wow, that's quite a responsibility you're taking on yourself. But I would suggest that on the back of the draw form, or this form they're calling a renovation loan initial disbursement request form. I'd have to look at that form to tell if I'd even sign it, but I'd definitely sign a draw form because it's made out the way we understand it. And I would clearly mark the box number 4 rather than number 5. Number 5 says all of the items have been completed per the scope of work. Well, number 4 gives you leeway, and you can explain in the body there that what you're doing, and I'd write something that indicates the lender has requested this cash advance for the project, and nothing has been installed at this point. This appears to be a lender-approved materials cash advance. Then sign it and turn it in. I always sign after everybody else signs. The reason for that is I want nobody making any changes to my draw request after I've signed it. And sometimes these guys are very good at that. Back in the old days, there was a 2-page draw request form, and page 2 was not seen by the borrower or the contractor. It was where the consultant signed or the inspector signed. And I actually, 1994, I had a draw request. Contractor filled it out. We walked through. We looked at everything. And he said that the homeowner wouldn't be there until after work. So I, like a fool, a novice, left the paperwork for him to have him signed and returned to me. But I only left one page, and the page that he had to sign. And that's the way it was in the old days. So then, later that day, it was signed. The next day, I get a phone call from my lender, and where they, even in 1994, the lender called me a guru. And they said, "Hey, Mr. Guru, you forgot to sign the draw request." And I said, "Well, isn't that interesting? Why don't you send it to me so I can take a look at it, and I will send in the signed pages." When I got it, Apparently, the contractor didn't see me writing down all the line items that I had authorized on my paper that I brought back to my office. And when I looked, he had actually filled in 7 or 8 more line items and increased his draw amount substantially. So that forced me to do 2 things. One, I line out like I did in the Army as a drill sergeant when we had forms to fill out and we didn't want anybody filling something out in the blank sections. We put a diagonal line across, and then we go down to the next section, and just above that line item, we had put another diagonal line and draw a line down between them so no one could add anything to our draws. That was change number one. Secondly, I no longer sign these until everything else is signed, then it's returned to me, and I can verify that everything has been done properly and according to my instructions. If they try, they're really going to have to try hard to do it if you'll do it that way. So I suggest all consultants don't sign the paperwork until everybody else has signed. And yet I see people doing it all the time. I hire consultants nationally for my lender base when they don't have a consultant in an area. They don't know who to call. They place the orders with our order blanks that on our websites, and we place the order for them and give them the name of a good consultant in the area. As you consultants are out there and you want to be part of that, just let us know, and we'll explain the rules and how it works. And if you want to be part of it, we're glad to add you on there. You will do consulting better or adequately, and some of you aren't, frankly. Some of you are insisting upon a contractor's bid before you go out. If that's the case, you should be terminated as a consultant. The consultant criteria clearly states in the guideline that you are to create the scope of work with the borrower's assistance, and you are to provide an independent bid without the help of a contractor bid. So, if you get a contractor's bid, enjoy it. Don't expect it. It's not your job. Anyway, so let's get back to this. I'd go ahead and sign it, turn it in with the stipulation that this is a supplemental requirement by this lender to be paid. My gut feeling is that this is a Fannie Mae home style mortgage. Fannie Mae home style renovation mortgage has a little more leeway. And that leeway is that they can give a little money up front. I have one lender that quite often will up front load this project with 10 to 20%. Now, if that I know that going in, why don't I just fill out the draw paperwork for 10 or 20% going in? So that first draw that we submit as a sample is actually a usable functional draw. If I know it's going to be that. Now, if I don't know it, I don't sign the bottom of page 2. I don't sign that until I know it's a valid draw, because signing it makes it a valid draw form, and people could fill it in, and you've got it blank, so they could fill anything they want and take that to the bank and get a check. So 50% seems a little excessive to me. 10 to 20% seems more realistic. So that's where that is. Next question I got from a consultant. Mike, if a house has bad stucco job on it, but the borrower wants to repair it outside the 203 scope of work, can they do that? Or would HUD require it to be repaired, rebuilt, to be approved, to get the program or the process moving forward? My consultant also said, I would think they would at least need a stucco inspection to make sure there aren't any moisture issues behind it. What do you think? Well, that's the question. All I can say is, consultants, if you have questions for me, number them and leave a space in between them. So when I reply to you and answer your question by email as quickly as possible, quite often within the hour, rarely within 4 hours, and very rarely the next day. But if you have questions, all I ask is that you separate them so I can see one question and I'll give you one answer. I'll see the second question, give you a second answer. It makes my life a little easier. I don't have to guess which question goes where. Anyway, this has always been an issue. The client quite often plans to do other work like painting. They all think they're painters for some reason. Believe me, a professional painter is much better at painting. We had a job recently in Napa, California, where the home buyer and the contractor couldn't agree on his price for doing the interior paint, which was very poor, and he was doing a lot of drywall replacement. And he knew he had to put two coats of paint on it and then a finish coat it. So he had bid this job at around $3,500 or $4,000 to interior paint the interior of this home. Homeowner said, no, 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 no. Take it out of the scope. I will deal with all the painting. Well, that's great for her. So she ran down to Home Depot, picked up a painter, and took him home, provided the paint. He used a lot less paint. He did it for $500. He painted the entire interior of the home. And you could see holidays through the paint in every single room. So I suggested that she go down and hire a painter again and get another set of paint and paint a second coat. And she wasn't willing to pay $3,500 to get it done right the first time, but maybe she could get it done right the second. And if that didn't work, then we could do it a third time. She'd still be at $1,500. She didn't think that my joke was very funny. Darn. So, getting on. We always have homeowners that want to do something. They don't always tell us up front. In this case, with your stucco, if it's bad and you would call it out, then call it out. The borrower is instructed by the guideline to add money that they want to do that work. So that if you got you put a bid in on that work yourself, you create a bid, and you go ahead and add that to your scope of work. And the borrower can put that amount of money into the kitty to cover it. Now, the way I would think would be a smarter way to do this is under the FHA guidelines, if you put the contingency reserve up in cash and it's not needed, you can get it back at the end of the process. So let's think about that. What if we put the stucco job in there and let's say it was $9,000 and the borrower was going to pay $5,000 for that work? So put it in at the $9,000 and then take that money, that $5,000 that the borrower was going to put, and make it an additional contingency reserve payment. So they're still putting 3.5% down, but now they're putting $5,000 up as contingency reserve. If it's not needed at the end of the process, they get it back and they're not out anything. So why not do it that way? And by golly, sometimes if they have the $9,000, that might be enough to call this a 20% down payment instead. And if they do that, they can change this possibly to a home style renovation mortgage and get out of the PMI, which is about $500 a month in California because of the house prices. It's about 0.85% of your total loan amount. So if you're $300,000 total cost, 300 times 0.085. Oh, Michael, that's not right. How about 0.085, huh? Time 0.0085. You're looking at $255 a month on a $300,000 mortgage that you're paying for mortgage insurance. So if you can put that money down additionally that you're going to spend anyway on the house, put it into your loan, you may find there's other benefits that outweigh you doing this on your own. So just think about it. Make sure that as a consultant, you're explaining these things when your client does confess that they're going to be doing some work on their own. I frankly discourage them doing anything on their own. We've got one right now that we just finished. We just submitted for the final payment. the homeowner was laying his own floor in the kitchen, dining room rather, and living room and hallway. Well, he didn't have it done when we did the final draw. So any pictures I took, it looks like this house is not finished. If we call the turned it in as a final, which all of our scope of work was done, and the appraiser comes out to do their 442 inspection, which is just to verify that the home was finished as if they believed it was going to be finished, and they saw that unfinished work, how would they report that? You know, you're putting everybody between a rock and a hard place when you don't do it by the guideline. So now the other problem we see quite often is the borrower plans to do other work in our scope and clearly as an option. The work starts and the borrower's side work gets in the way of the main scope of work. So the borrower's going to paint and the scope of work calls for us to put in flooring. And he doesn't get the paint, so we start putting in the flooring. The borrower sees us putting in the flooring and says, whoa, stop. I'm supposed to paint first. Yeah, but we're supposed to finish first. We got to get out of here. So the contractor and homeowner conflicts can be stirred up when the homeowner is going to be in the way of the contractor getting his job done in a timely fashion. There are a few contractors that understand the faster they get the job done, the happier everyone will be, and the more money they make per hour. So another question that came in was, which I thought was kind of funny, heartbreaking and funny at the same time. I'm not laughing at anybody. There was a large stack of hardwood flooring in boxes in the garage when they did their inspection. Borrower suggested that there's the hardwood floor for the house. Well, hardwood floor has to be climatized. It has to be sitting in the house for a week or so that it gets the moisture content from the inside of the house. What happened in the garage was a tragedy. When they opened those boxes, his comment was, there was infested with termites more than I had ever seen in one place. That total flooring was eaten up by termites, so it's gone. They can't use it. I would suggest treating the whole house right now for whatever those termites were, what type they were, and making sure they're all dead before I went out and bought any more hardwood floor to put in there. So anyway, can we use that contingency reserve in that case to replace this hardwood floor? Yes, absolutely. I see that we're running up against the clock again, so we're going to take another short break, and we'll be back up and wrap this thing up with you after this break. Call in at 888-627-6008, toll free to be part of the program.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Hey everybody. Welcome back. Please call in at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate the emails we're getting now. A couple more have come in here, people asking questions. I'd never intended it to be that way, but there it is, and that's fine. However you want to correspond is fine. Another email we got last week is, "Hey, Mike, do you know any requirements having to do with an energy audit done prior to a loan being processed or closed? Is there something in the works for future in that regard?" Well, some states, like California, have what they call the Cal Green inspection that must take place now before they'll transfer ownership of a house or 1-4 unit building. So Cal Green inspection has to happen, and that has a cost. I don't know what the cost is, but it does have a cost. People are looking for these houses to be more and more energy efficient. So another thing that we had happen years ago was, say, a homeowner was supposed to close escrow and sign his papers and own his house on December 26th or 27th of 1 year. They went out and ran $8,000 up on their credit cards. $8,000 for the children's toys and gifts for their family and friends. Ah, I see we have our special guest today has arrived. So let's bring him on. Tom, I'd like to introduce to everybody Tom Huntley. He's a regional renovation manager for Homebridge Financial Corp. I've found Tom very helpful nationally as well. When we need a good lender out of state, he's been able to find us. So, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike Young. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to make some time. Sorry if I'm running a few minutes late. Hope everything's going well.
Oh, everything's going fine. If you don't mind, I'm going to get right into it because I got a lot of questions to ask you. Are you okay with that?
Let's go.
Okay. Can you use a renovation loan to buy listings that are specifically, say, cash offers only?
You know, Mike, that's an amazingly smart question because it actually says that you can't do what actually we can do. As you said over the years, renovation loans are just like cash. It's just somebody else's cash. So the answer is yes. Once you talk to the listing agent and discuss the difference of an as-is versus a subject-to-repairs appraisal, we can solve just about any problem as long as it's conceivably possible to get a permit to live there from the municipality. So, yes, you can.
Yeah, I notice when I go out and talk to real estate associations, and I do it a lot all over the country, they talk about an all-cash buyer coming in and snatching the property away from them. But it sounds like this is the answer to anybody's prayer. This is an all-cash offer. Every sale in history has been a cash, all-cash-to-seller offer. So that's good. We may have listeners out there that are thinking about buying that you can help today. So is there a phone number or a website that you might send them to if they need some help finding a lender that's friendly to the F203K or the renovation loan programs?
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. So my cell phone is the easiest way to get a hold of me. It is 707-337-3777. A lot of sevens. I'll say it again. 707-337-3777. And then easy to find me on the web too. The actual website address would be homebridge.com/my name, Tom Huntley, Huntley.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. And I can't tell you, Tom, when I met him, how long has it been since we started doing business together?
Gosh, I'd have to think about it a little more carefully, but it certainly seems like it's been 7 or 8 years. Perhaps it's coming up on 10. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's hard. It seems like it's been forever, huh? I remember that first time walking into your office was quite entertaining. what We aren't going to do business together. And 3 days later, we did our first transaction. And 6 days later, you kind of made a commitment we were going to do some business together. And we've been together ever since. So that's cool. And I do appreciate your loyalty. But I got an interesting one. There's a lot of contractors that like to flip properties. Is there any way a contractor can do that with any of these loan programs that you offer?
You know, that's a great question. And but the answer is yes. But I see a lot of contractors that really work hard to help capital or cash people, you know, flip houses, and they just do the work and get paid their margin, and they use up their body for other people. One of the things that I really enjoy is when we can actually work with a contractor and help them buy that property as an investment property with our Fannie Mae home style product, and buy that home and fix it up and then make the margin themselves. So, yes, we do have tools for contractors. It's Fannie Mae, and it's, you know, more expensive because it's investment property and a little bit more expensive because it's a renovation, but it's nothing like hard money. And, you know, 20% down is would work, 15% with mortgage insurance. So there's a lot of good avenues there to help contractors do deals for themselves. And many contractors are renting. If they want to buy a house and fix it up and add on to it, live in it a couple of years, then take advantage of their cap gain exemption. I see many smart contractors getting into it that way. So they increase the value of it over a year or two, and then after 2-3 years, they decide to sell it. And then they can make a tax-free profit under the current tax code as an individual up to $250,000, and as a married couple, $500,000. That's a pretty good way to fund their retirement and get ahead. So I love working with contractors that that can see the value of something in its current condition.
Well, Tom, that's for flippers, and that's great. I agree with you 100%. I'm also reading into that a little bit. It sounds to me like a contractor could buy his own house and get the money to fix it up and live in it. Anyway,
yes.
We'll talk about this more. Tom, I'm sorry, we run out of time already. Maybe we can have you back another day and spend a little more time with you. I'd love that. But for now, we have to say goodbye, and we will hope you'll all join us again next Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Look forward to it.
Thanks, guys. And you know, I have to give Mike Young some credit where credit is due. Over the years, we've worked with a lot of good teams that understand construction and renovation, but nobody understands it quite the level that Mike Young does. No one has the reach nationally with the network and relationships that he has. And it's a pleasure to work with you, Mike, as always, and your professionalism goes without saying. Thank you again.
Thanks, Tom.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.